Daniel chapter 2 on Through the Word. And in the world of prophecy, this is a big one. Daniel 2 has been called the backbone of Bible prophecy. I call it the top of the prophecy puzzle box. See, prophecy means God speaking to man, which can be about a lot of things, including the future. Predictions of the future are one of the coolest things in the Bible, but it's about more than just God showing off. It sets the Bible apart from every other religious book, and sets the God of the Bible apart from every other so-called God. Prophecy is amazing stuff. It proves God's power, and more than that, reveals God's plan, his purpose amidst the chaos of this life. The Bible is full of astounding and accurate predictions, and the book of Daniel is the epicenter. But if you've ever tried to put all the prophecy together and understand it, well, it's a little bit like a 5,000-piece puzzle. There's a lot of moving parts. What you really need for a puzzle is a box top. You know, the big picture on the top that helps you see how all the little pieces fit together. The Bible has a few of these box top pictures. One of them is Daniel 2, and the prophecy comes with a story. We left off in about 600 BC. The Israelites have been taken captive by Babylon and the great king Nebuchadnezzar. Now remember how the Babylonians worked. They took over kingdoms far and wide, including Israel, and from among their captives, they picked out the best and the brightest young men to serve the king. So Nebuchadnezzar had wise men, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers representing every people and every god you could think of, including the God of Israel. Daniel and his friends are all grown up now and working for Nebuchadnezzar. Well, chapter 2 begins with a dream. King Nebi has a dream that hits him hard, and he just can't shake it. So he gathers the wise men and demands that they interpret the dream. But here the king gets tricky. He refuses to tell them what he dreamed. In verse 5, he insists, "If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble." Now, what do you do with that? How do you interpret a dream when the king won't even say what it was? There's something going on with Nebuchadnezzar here. He's got all the religious gurus you could ever want. He's been following them for years. But this time, he wants evidence. I think he's getting tired of chasing the gods. Babylon had thousands of them. But this time, Nebuchadnezzar wants proof. Proof that it's not just made up. Proof that these gods are for real. "Tell me my dream and tell me the meaning, or you all die." The wise men can't do it, and the command goes out, "Execute them all." But among the wise men are Daniel and his friends, servants of the living God. Daniel goes to the king to ask for time, and he goes to God to ask for help. And God answers. As you read this story, watch carefully how Daniel talks to God and talks about God. In verse 27, he tells the king, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." I like that. The answers you need are not found among men, but there is a God in heaven, and he reveals mysteries. So Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar the dream and the meaning. And the dream is a prophecy. It reveals God's big plan for the kingdoms of the world. Pay attention. This is big. Verse 31. "Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay." So his dream was a statue of a man, a huge one, with four sections in four different metals. Daniel explains that the statue represents four great kingdoms of the earth, massive empires that would rule far and wide. The head of gold represents Babylon. King Nebi should like this. He's on top. The first world-dominating empire. But then his kingdom wouldn't last. In verse 39, two words that cut to the heart of every proud man. After you. No matter how great you are today, there will be an end. After you, another kingdom will rise. No man-made kingdom will last forever. The next empire is the Silver Torso, the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Bronze Belly, the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. Finally, the Legs of Iron, Rome, strong and ruthless. Now remember, most of this is being told in advance, 600 BC. The prophecy here is very broad, and you could write it off as a lucky guess. But remember, this is just the opener, the big picture. Just wait till we get to chapter 11, prophecy with precise detail. And Nebuchadnezzar's dream isn't quite over. The four kingdoms from Babylon to Rome are given, but the last kingdom changes. The iron legs of Rome become iron mixed with clay in the feet and toes. There is another kingdom rebuilt out of the old Roman Empire, and this one jumps to the distant future, the kingdom of the Antichrist in the final days of the earth. Now remember, this is the big picture. The rest of the Bible fills in a lot of details, but we still haven't seen God's purpose in all of this yet. But then something happens in the dream. Back in verse 34, while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And so the whole statue, every man-made kingdom, crumbles to dust. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. So Daniel explains that the great rock is another kingdom. In verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. This is what the prophecy is really all about, God's kingdom. This is the backbone of Bible prophecy, the box-top picture of everything that prophecy is leading up to. The kingdoms of man, the great man-made monuments to ourselves, have come and gone like ancient statues. The wise men and astrologers and sorcerers of this world have come and gone with them. But the kingdom of God is a rock. Not carved out by human hands, God himself will establish it, and it will never be destroyed. As you read through the Bible, watch for his kingdom. If you miss the kingdom, you miss the whole story. Think about it. From Abraham and King Melchizedek, down to King David, down to Jesus, the whole story is about kings, kingdoms, and the everlasting kingdom of God. Jesus said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose. And when he comes back, he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and set up a kingdom, just as Daniel prophesied, that will never be destroyed. And so, with this prophecy, Daniel saves all the wise men. And that is the top of the puzzle box, the big story of the Bible. Now, there's more to it, of course, so read Daniel 2, and as you do, seek first his kingdom.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.